and do it with joy. So, Father, we want to thank you today for the opportunity we have now to open up the Word, God, to sit at your banqueting table and to receive, God, of the Word you have for us today. Would y'all just pray with me right now? God, speak to my heart. And, Lord, before I leave this place, change me. God, do a work in my heart, my mind. Lord, I give you my undivided attention. And I ask, Lord, that you would, Lord, let the Word of God be the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that I will hide it in my heart, that I won't sin against you, God, but I'll run hard after you all the days of my life. Lord, I thank you for your Word. I know that it's going to touch people in different ways today. Lord, I'm nothing without you. Use this vessel, Lord, these clays, this lips of clay. God, speak through me, I pray. God, let your Holy Spirit permeate every part of who we are in this moment, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. 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 Give somebody a fist bump or a high five before you're seated. God bless you guys. As you turn to Judges chapter 6, the premise of our loving people is to love people, it's important to learn and see how much God loves people. Did y'all know that God loves people much more than we could ever love people? God loves the ones closest to you more than you could ever love them. And God loves them with an everlasting, unconditional love. And as for our love for God and our understanding of who God is and his nature, as that grows and increases, so does our love for others. I have learned in my life that the closer I get to God, the more I love God. He gives me such a great love for humanity. To love difficult people, to love broken people, to love all people. God does that for us. And there's a Hebrew name of God that describes something that we all need in this hour and in this day, especially our world needs in this moment. And you guys probably already know what it is, that Hebrew name of God that we need it desperately at this moment right now. The name I want to talk about today is He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of our peace, the Lord of peace. Our world is broken. Our world needs the peace. We are living in a time where anxiety and depression and thoughts of suicide is rampant in our nation and our world, and we need a peace of God in the midst of our lives. There are people sitting in this room today. You're in a storm. You are in a place where you're asking God. It's one more thing is going to break the camel's back. This is the last straw, and you're throwing out a lifeline. You're saying, God, if you can hear me now, where are you, God? In that place, in that challenge, in that storm, I want you to be encouraged today, and I'm glad you're here because we've got some good news to share with you. Because part of the character of God is He is Jehovah Shalom. Say it with me. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord, our peace. The Lord, our peace. There are certain things that happen in our lives, and I want to call them disruptors, if you will. Disruptors. A disruptor is a person or a thing that interrupts an event, an activity, or process by causing a disturbance or a problem. In biology, it can be referred to as a thing that interferes with or significantly alters the structure or function of a biological molecule, such as a gene or a hormone. Disruptors can cause me, when you have a disruption in your life, it can cause you to either have faith or to not trust in God at all. It can move you towards believing and trusting God in a greater way, or it can rob you and deceive you and believe and make you feel like God has abandoned you and cause you to leave your faith. Hello? How many of you known people have done both of those things? As a pastor, I've had the opportunity to watch people gravitate towards God when they're going through difficulty. I mean, my heart leaps at that. My heart overjoys with that. But my heart is broken when I see someone go through a difficulty and they leave God. And they feel like God has given up on them. God doesn't hear their prayer. God doesn't care. And that's not the God that I serve. It's not the God that I love. The God that I know is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord of peace. And He wants peace for you. He wants peace in your heart. Disruptors can lead me to better things. Sometimes disruptions in my life can lead me to better things. Things I didn't anticipate. Maybe it was a difficulty I didn't ask for. And all of a sudden, it perpetuates me, it projects me, it moves me on a trajectory toward better things. Have you ever had that happen in your life before? You didn't welcome it, you didn't see it when it first happened, you didn't want it when it first happened, but a month later, 6 months later, a year later, you see, God allowed that to happen in my life because look where I'm at today. Look what the opportunity has for me today. Look where he has me mentally or in a different place today. Major life experiences that shift the normal rhythms of our daily life is disruptors. Events that change the course of our expected trajectory. Decisions we make that lead us on a new path. You are a product not only of the steps of the righteous are ordered by God, but also by your decisions. He's not making you make the decisions you make. He will give you discernment. He will give you wisdom. The Holy Spirit is our counselor, amen. And he will lead us when you ask him, but you make the decisions. So we are a product of those decisions. There are also things that happen to us that we don't expect, we don't want, we didn't ask for. Hello? And we learn in those times to trust in God through our life experiences. I love Psalm 23, and most of you know that scripture. You know Psalm 23. And I love what it tells us early on. It reminds us again that the Lord, as being a shepherd, everybody say shepherd, is keeping a close watch over his flock. And I love what Psalm 23, the first part of that, the very first line, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. It says, I shall lack nothing. Nothing. I shall lack nothing. He is all complete. He is already paid the price. He has already fully equipped me. So there is nothing I should lack. And there's a metaphor here of a shepherd and the sheep. And then the metaphor shifts from shepherd to sheep to a great host and his guest at a great banquet feast. And let me share this with you here. In verse 5 of 23, it says that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You ever thought about that? I mean, being in the presence of your enemies is one thing, but to be able to sit down and have a meal and the presence of the enemies is all around you, that's a totally different place. It's a whole totally different context. To be able to sit down and actually stomach a meal and enjoy the meal in the presence of a battle, in the presence of your enemies. Pastor, where are you going with this? I got a plan here. Stay with me just for a few moments. David is speaking metaphorically in relation to a period of time when he was running from his enemies. And David sings this song Psalm 23. David's foes mocked him and his trust in Yahweh, and David was powerless to overcome them. For years he had been crying out, how long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? In Psalm 13. It must often have seemed to David and to watching the world as if the Lord had indeed forgotten him and allowed his enemies to rejoice and triumph. How many have ever felt like, you don't have to raise your hand, you have felt like God forgot about you? You ever felt that way? Can I be totally transparent with you? I have too. Pastor Steve, yes. I squeeze your arm of your neighbor, just squeeze and pinch him, whatever, to tell him, oh, you are human, aren't you? Yeah. We all go through the same things. There's places in my life where all I had was the Word of God because I couldn't sense Him, I couldn't feel Him. I said, Lord, I know You've got to be there because Your Word says You'll never leave me alone. You'll never leave me. You are faithful to Your Word. And so I had to get into the Word and trust the Word of God, and it led me back to a place to where I could sense God again. Hello? That's the power of the Word of God. And David was there. My gosh, David was a man after God's own heart, and here's David saying, have you forgotten me, Lord? And he's running from his enemies. He's afraid for his life, and he sings these songs. And out of this, he bursts this song in Psalm 23. So here's a picture of learning to see God, to trust God as a shepherd who gives you peace in the midst of your storm. It's this picture of a shepherd who is bringing peace to his flock of sheep when there's wolves and there's danger all around, but in the middle of that field, in the middle of that place, in that pasture, God is saying to us, I am the good shepherd, and I have you right in the middle, and there needs to be peace in the valley, if you will. Hello? Peace in the midst of your storm. You see, Pastor, I don't feel very peaceful in this moment in my life. Well, listen, you've got to rest in the arms of the good shepherd. He says, in the presence of your enemies. The David said, in the presence of my enemies, Lord, I can sit at a banquet. I can sit at a feast. Now, the backdrop here of this name, Jehovah Shalom, let me give this to you. It describes the character of God, that he is the God of peace. So in the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6, the Israelites had done evil in the eyes of God. And for 7 years, God gave them to the hands of the Midianites. And if you read chapter 6, verse 1, you'll see part of this. I'm just going to kind of outline it for you. The Israelites had done evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years, God gave them to the hand of the Midianites. Israel lived in caves, in mountain cliffs, to try to escape the oppression of the Midians. They're hiding out. They're afraid for their lives. The Midianites and the Amalekites, they're ravaging the land. I mean, all the crops, their homes, everything, their livestock. There's tribes of people that are coming in and they're ruining, they're ravaging the landscape, and they're trampling on crops, and they're just eating up everything. They're destroying the livestock. And here the Israelites, they can't do anything about it. They're weak, and they're crying out because they disobeyed God, and God allows this to happen for 7 years. And they cried out to God, and God sent a prophet who reminded them how they were rescued out of the bondage in Egypt. Sometimes you just need a friend to come along and remind you about where God has been in your life before. Yeah, you're going through a place right now, a desert in your life right now, but listen, do you remember when God did this for you? Amen. Do you remember what God did for you in that moment when you were in the desert? This is what happened with this prophet. He's reminding Gideon, the crying out to God, and an angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, who was threshing wheat behind a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Here's Gideon, the Gideon that we know, the prerequisite before the Gideon we know. He's hiding out behind this wine press, and he's threshing wheat, but he's hiding out so the Midianites can't steal it, and also for his own life. He's kind of hiding behind. You know, he's crouching down. He's working. He's doing what he can, but he's in fear. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon as he was threshing that wheat behind the wine press. And watch this. What I love, what it says in the word there, as the angel came and sat down under this tree, and was watching Gideon working on the side. I love that. I love that about our Lord. And that just speaks to me that God is a God of peace. Everybody say peace. It's that peace be still, like Jesus spoke to that storm. This angel didn't come. He wasn't in an uproar. He wasn't anxious about that moment. But he comes and he sets. The Bible says that he sets. Sometimes you gotta watch those key words there. It gives you kind of descriptions of what's going on and understand the context of that. But the angel of the Lord appeared. He's sitting under the tree. And the angel said to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Remember who you are." The Lord said to Gideon, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel. Save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" I love this picture. I love this context of reminding us of who we are in God. When we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I believe everyone in this room, you're in one kind of storm or another. Either you just came out of one, or you're getting ready to go in one. And I want to give you some tools today that will help you in the middle of that storm, okay? I want us to get and understand the character of God, that He is Jehovah Shalom. Say it with me, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace, in the midst of your storm. So when we're going through it, the thick of it, the challenge of it, when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, in the middle of the battle, we need Jehovah Shalom. And I want you to remember this morning, first of all, who and whose you are. Remember who and whose you are. This is one of the first things that the angel reminded Gideon of. This is the key here in chapter 6, verse 13. "Pardon me, Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, everybody, what did he say? "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Something we have all asked at one time or the other. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? You ever ask that question? God, why did you allow this to happen to me? God, this was not fair. I did not ask for this. Where are you in the middle of this? I thought you loved me. I thought you really cared about me. I thought you had something that you really wanted me to accomplish in my life, and my dreams just aren't really coming true, God. Gideon, "But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us over to our enemies." I know we could all share stories about how we have been through things and we wondered where God was. And I remember a very important lesson that I learned. It was our kids were little. We had been visiting our family here in Rock Hill. We were living in Indiana. It was the late 90s. And we were heading back home after Labor Day weekend, heading back home on I-85, right outside of Gaffney. about where the Big Peach is. Y'all know the Big Peach water tower there. And a lady, we stopped and got some peaches on the roadside there, and we got back on the on-ramp, back onto I-85. And within a few seconds after getting on the on-ramp, while I was accelerating, a lady came across the median before they had the cables in the middle, out of control. All I saw was a blue car and a bunch of dirt, and she came and hit us head-on on I-85 as we're heading back home to Indiana. It threw our car over into the shoulder, and we kind of ended up in a ditch. And of course, if you've ever been in an accident, you're very disillusioned. It happens so fast. I did the best I could do to get out of her way, but the more I did this, the more the car came closer to us, and we ended up hitting head-on. Mary Alice had just turned to get our kids. So back in that day, I mean, I grew up, my seat in the car with my dad was standing up beside him while he drove in that big tank. Remember those days? We didn't have all the child restraint laws that we have now. Thank God we have them now. But my chair was like standing up beside my daddy or laying in the back window sill. Did anybody ever do that when you're driving around? That was your seat. So we had a minivan, and we had kids, and so the kids would be, the kids were little, and so we had them on the floor, and we had snacks and stuff, and we had a little, before the TV monitors in the cars, we had a big VCR thing that we hooked up and put it right there in the console, strapped it down, and we had a box full of VHS tapes that we played for the kids. Barney was a big one, that was a big one we played, and they would be watching the video. So Mary Alice had just turned around to get them situated. And as soon as she turned around, that's when the incident happened. I was buckled in. She wasn't, because she hadn't gotten in her seat yet. And so she was thrown into the windshield, suffered several injuries, a major injury on her leg. The doctor said she would always walk with a limp, but she'd never be able to run or ride a bike or anything. And thank God, you guys ever see my wife limping anymore? I don't. It's amazing how God brought her out of that. And the children were fine. I had some minor injuries. But I remember that night, and I won't prolong this, but I remember that night laying in bed, and we were just sobbing. We were just, my wife was in a lot of pain, but I was just weeping. I was saying, God, and I was like, we prayed before we left. We even asked God for your protection over our trip when we left. Where were you? And it's like the Holy Spirit just whispered to me, because there's so many things that happened during this time of people coming along our side. It was amazing. And the Holy Spirit says, I was with you. I was with you. I would never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, our circumstances does not change the fact of who God is. Our God is sovereign. Our God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so whatever you're going through, no matter what you do, no matter whether you get mad at God or whether you ask God where he's at, it's not going to change who God is. God is sovereign. He is who he says he is. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. And so my story began to change. But not, God, where were you? Why did you allow this to happen to us? But thank God you were in the middle of our situation. Just different ways to look at it. Different ways to look at it, and there's different ways to view who God is. And if you know his word and his character, then you know that he is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord our peace. And sometimes we forget who we are in Christ, and sometimes we forget that we are his. And I want you to remember today, if you're going through a storm, guys, if you're going through a storm, either you're coming out of one or you're going in one or you're in the middle of one, know who you are and whose you are. I love what John 1:12 says. It says, but as many as received him, to them that he gives the power or the right to be called what? Sons and daughters of God. Heirs to his kingdom. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. It says, but as many as received him. So we are sons and daughters. We have the authority in the name of Jesus to declare God's presence over our lives, over our homes, over our communities. We have the authority in the name of Jesus to declare his presence over our nation and over our world. The authority to walk in that authority. Often we too often feel like Gideon, though. We feel insufficient and in lack. I'm not good enough. And Midian, he was thinking about this. He's thinking, how am I going to face the Midianites? We are the weakest clan of all. And here you're saying, I'm equipped to go and win the battle for the Israelites. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have the right resources. I don't have the right talent. I don't have the right ability. I don't have enough training. I don't have enough experience. I don't have enough opportunity. And you know what? We aren't good enough without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I will never be good enough. without God in filling this vessel, your vessel. So our position is to say, I'm not good enough. It's not that. Our position is to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And God, I am with you. Whatever you want, God, I am standing available for you to use. God, infill me with your presence. Allow this vessel. I, Lord, give this vessel to you, and I ask that you would fill it, that you would use it. God, every breath I have in my lungs, everything, every thought that I have, may it be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. God, breathe life in me so that I can breathe life to others. I can do what you've called me to do. Hallelujah. I'm not good enough. Can you say that? Lord, I'm not good enough. I need you. I need you, Lord, because you are the one who fills all the voids. You're the one that fills all of my lack, because your word tells me there is no lack in you. There's nothing I lack. You are the one who makes me complete. Aren't you thankful he makes you complete this morning? He is the only one who can save me. He is the only one who fills me with his precious Holy Spirit. He is the only one who loves me unconditionally. Hello? He is the one who saves me. He is the one who sets me free. He is the author and the perfecter of my faith. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord, my peace. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's just thank the Lord right now. You are my peace, oh God. You are Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, my peace. God, somehow you make it all right. In the middle of my storm, in the middle of my challenge, God, you make it all right. Those watching online today, maybe you're at a place, Lord, I need a miracle. I just need to get out of this spot that I'm in. Listen, you are serving Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord, your peace. And we are praying for peace, the peace of God that passes understanding to be yours right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember the first part of the psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So remember who you are and whose you are. Secondly, remember he has given you everything you need. Look at your neighbor and say, he is with you. He is with you. He is with you. Judges 6, look at in verse 15. Gideon says, pardon me, Lord. I just love this interaction with this. I think I would just be so baffled. There's an angel standing there. I would be, or sitting by the tree. I would be speechless. I would be a nervous wreck. And here's a conversation between him and this angel of the Lord. And he says, pardon me, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. And Gideon asked for a sign to make sure this is the real deal. I love this. He prepares some meat and bread and broth and offered it up to the Lord by placing it on a rock. And the angel of the Lord touched the prepared food, and a fire flared up from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And at that moment, he knew it was the Lord. I think I would have figured that out by then. You know, if the thing just kind of went, and it was, you know, I would think that there's something about that that's not right, and that's got to be God. He knew it was the Lord, and then the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. I love that. I love the simplicity of that, Rich, but also love the power of that. He just spoke it. Peace, the Lord be with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I've been declaring that over your life. Peace, the Lord be with you. Peace, the Lord be with you. He spoke that in existence to Gideon, and he reminded him who he was, and he also reminded him that God was with him in that moment. And he knew it was the Lord, and then the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. And so in that moment, Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, the God is peace. So in this present hour, right here, guys, I'm going to bring this to a close in just a couple of minutes, but in this present hour, I believe God is calling us as followers of Christ to not become anxious or afraid. You don't have to let me know who you are, but who's anxious and afraid in here? Come on, let's be real. Let's be honest. Let's take the mask off. When you turn on the news and you see a country invading another country and there's war at hand and lives are being lost, there's a certain amount of anxiety that can come up in our hearts. out of fear, out of prayer, out of concern. But in the midst of that, I watched a report the other night of a pastor in Ukraine and his family. He's got about six of them all together, maybe him and his wife and four kids of all different ages. And I know he's concerned. I know they're afraid for their lives, but I saw more of the joy of the Lord in his face than anything else. He's learned as a pastor to be in the middle of a battle, in the middle of a war-torn nation, but also be at peace to know that his God is with him. And that's what I'm talking about today. That's a very real battle. They're in a very real battle situation, and I believe the days are ahead where we're going to be persecuted. The church is going to be persecuted in greater ways. And so if you're not in a storm now, or you're going to be in one at some point, you've got to remember who you are and whose you are, but you've also got to remember that he is with you. His character, he is Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord our peace. And I can sit in the middle of this war-torn, ravaged sin, whatever around me, and be at the table of the Lord and be at peace when my enemies are all around me. A good friend of mine reminded me the other day that God, if you don't get anything else today, I want you to get this in your heart. God is infinitely trustworthy. God is infinitely trustworthy. You can trust him no matter what. No matter how you feel, no matter if you think God has abandoned you, you wonder how God doesn't answer your prayer, you wonder why God allowed this to happen, you can trust that he is infinitely trustworthy. Even when we remain faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot disown himself. The word tells us. God is trustworthy. I want to read you a psalm that the psalmist sang out in chapter 34. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Did y'all see that? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything. Everybody say it with me. Everything we need. Y'all see that? For a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. All that we need he has given to us. Look at your neighbor and say, you've got all you need. You've got all you need. God is infinitely trustworthy without limit. We can trust God with everything in every part of our lives. He's trustworthy. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember he's given everything you need. He is with you. And lastly, remember what we see here, the example of Gideon. Remember to build your altar and worship God in the middle of your storm. Amen. I'm going to say that again, because that deserves some, yeah, I'm with you, Pastor. Amen. I'm going to sit beside Catherine and amen myself. All right, so I'm going to say it again. In the middle of your battle, build an altar and worship your living God. In the middle of your battle. Not when it's over. In the middle of your battle. You start singing praise to God in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your circumstance. Hallelujah. I'm going to exalt the Lord and worship him in the middle of my challenge. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's just times I have to remind us that we are a Pentecostal church, and you can amen, you can get excited, whatever you want to do. Look at chapter 6, verse 22. When Gideon realized that it was an angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. I know it's God. I know it's you, and you have proven yourself to me." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. You're going to make it, Gideon. You're going to do it, Gideon. You're going to do what I've asked you to do. You're going to be all right. Because I've given you everything you've got. I've given everything you need, and I am with you. Remember who you are." He said, "I am with you, and you are not going to die." I've got news for you today. Those who know Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to have eternal life. You're never going to die. Amen. We celebrate homegoings. I love this. In verse 24, I want you to get this. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, and he called it "The Lord is Peace." He built an altar, and when you build an altar, I've got to think, it doesn't say, but I've got to think of the context of that story. If he builds an altar, then what is he going to do around the altar? He's going to worship. He builds an altar. He's going to pray. He's going to seek God. He's going to worship God in that moment. He's going to praise and thank his God for reminding him who he is, reminding him that God is with him, reminding him that he's going to win the battle, that he can do what God tells him to do, reminding him who he is in God. Don't forget who you are in God. Remember, I'm with you, Gideon. Remember, you are the man for this hour, and I've given you power to do what I've asked you to do. I love this. I'm going to bring it back to this in Psalm 23, the second part of verse 5. It shifts a bit. And the picture of learning to see God, to trust God as a great host, is he's a very generous host. He's caring, he's loving for his invited guests who have decided to attend the banqueting table. And we see in verse 5, it says there, it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." You ever thought about what that means? What is that? What is he saying there? "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And again, we see the psalmist referring to a great banquet where there is a most generous host for the guests and who have been invited to this banquet. And the key here is to notice that the enemies are not on the guest list, but are watching from nearby. We're surrounded by enemies. In the East, the people frequently anoint their visitors with some very fragrant perfume and give them a cup or a glass of some choice wine, which when you are my guest in my house, and I'm presenting this to you as you come into my house, I'm filling it all the way to the brim and to overflowing. Because I want you to know as my guest that when you come into my house, there is not limit. There's not enough to share, but when you come into my house, there is an abundance when you come and visit with me. Anytime you're around Jesus, you read it in the Bible, there's an abundance. Feeding of 5,000 plus women and children, how many basketfuls were left over? 12? There was abundance, there's food. The wedding at Cana, his first miracle. How many vats of wine were there? And these vats weren't little pitchers. They were huge vats that people got in and took baths in. There was a bunch of those. Filled them up, and it was the best wine that they'd ever tasted. It was choice wine. It actually was wine that they bottled and probably had for years after that. Abundance. Everybody say abundance. Abundance. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and give you life more." Abundance. Abundance. And so when people would come into the house, and their tradition in the East would be, "I'm going to fill you, here's some wine or whatever drink that they wanted," and it would overflow. There's this, it's saying, you're welcome in my house, but also there's an abundance here. And then they would also anoint their head with oil. The first was designed to show their love and respect. The latter to imply that while they remained there, there should be an abundance of everything. To something of this kind, the psalmist probably alluded to in this passage. And listen, we are living in the last days, I believe, or end times, if you will, and our Lord's return is very near. Do y'all believe that with me today? So when people come into the community of faith, they come into the house of God, listen to me. When they come into this place, I want them to see a God of life, of flow, of abundance, of creativity, of life that would just transcend their thoughts about a limited God, about a God who would cross his arms and say, "Prove to me before I love you." A God that's abundant in love, a God that's abundant in acceptance. He's an inclusive God of all people, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight. And so we are inclusive of all, and we want to have a place of abundance. I know y'all like to eat around here, so we serve a lot of food. And we like to eat. I'm one of you. I love to eat. And chicken's my favorite thing. And I probably shouldn't eat that anymore because it's not good for me, but I like it. So we have a lot of food. We have a lot of banquets. We have a lot of meals. And we do that because we want to have an abundance. So when we have a meal around here, I don't want to run out of food. I don't want to have food left over. That's why we have to-go boxes for you guys. Hey, we got some more. Come on, get some more. Take it with you. Is that all right? I want to live that way. I want people to see that we serve a God who is more than enough. Not a God that is begrudging, that is stingy, that is saying, "Prove to me who you are before I can love you or extend myself." If you know who God is in his character, he is a God who's always extending himself to you. Not us reaching for God. It's God extending himself to us over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. That's the character of God. God loves people. He loves his creation. And I believe that we as Christians are living in the last days, and we are to be those people of abundance. because we know the one who wants to give us abundant life. As Christians, we have the promise. Don't you have the promise of eternal life? You have the promise of the rapture of the church where there will be a great feast. But even in this present life, we can have the peace of God that rules our hearts, and we can sit at the table of the Lord, hallelujah, in the midst of our enemies and the difficulties of this hour. We can sit in the midst of the storm, the battle that rages all around us. We can sit at his banqueting table in the presence of our enemies, and we can share in his feast, share in his abundance, because wherever Jesus is, there's an abundance. There's an abundance in him. And we can sit at his table, and we can enjoy the presence of the Lord. We are called to be the people of God in the middle of the storms of this life. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to show them Jesus if we don't? This world sure isn't going to do it. The enemy of your soul sure not going to project that to us. We are called to be the people of God. And just like the angel of the Lord reminded Gideon who he was and who he is, I'm reminding us today, and I'm setting a mandate before First Assembly of God in Rock Hill, that we are to be the people of God in this last hour. We are to be the people who welcome the Holy Spirit. We are to be the people who show the abundance of a loving God for all people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are called not to prepare the feast. He has prepared the feast. Did you know that? He's already prepared the feast. We are called to partake of the feast, to engage at the table. We are to worship God in the midst of our challenges. We are to lift high the banner of the Lord we talked about recently in the midst of our storms. He loves us so much that he wants us to dwell in his peace, in his presence. But there are times in our lives, when challenges come our way, and we do just the opposite of that. A challenge comes. Something rocks our world. There's a shift. There's a disruption. And we, instead of growing closer to God, instead of growing more faithful in God, we become more anxious about the situation. We grow weary. We grow afraid. We decide not to engage, but rather to disengage from God. And we often assume that if God would only change my circumstance, then I would have some peace. Oh, if God would just do this, then I would have some peace. If God would just answer my prayer that way, then I would have some peace. If I would just have that opportunity, then I would have more peace in my life. If I would just be able to do this in my life and have that resource and be able to have that and that, then I'll have peace in my life. Listen, if you're going down that road, you're going down the wrong road. Inward peace does not rely on our changing circumstances. Only in knowing who I am and whose I am and who is with me, that's going to bring you peace. I got news for you. God may not change your circumstance, but he will give me everything I need, and he will be with me, and he will be my peace. I'm going to say that one more time. God may not change my circumstance, but he will give me everything I need. Y'all believe that this morning? He will be with me, and he will be my peace. Jesus doesn't want for you and I to live in fear. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. John 14. John 16 says this, and he reminds us that these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love what Paul says in Romans 15. He says, may the God of hope, everybody say hope, fill you with all joy and all peace so that you may overflow, you see the picture here, with the hope that you've been given. Hallelujah. So that you can overflow to the world that we live in that's in trouble. So that you can overflow to the people that need to see who Jesus is. I want to pray for you this morning. We're going to take communion in just a moment. But before we take communion, I want us to search our hearts. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. Those up in the balcony as well, if you would engage and join with me right now, those watching online. I'm going to have our altar. I know time is of essence, and but I feel like we need to do this. I want my prayer team, if you'll come, and be a position. Maybe it'd be easier if we just all stand for a moment. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.